You're listening to Last Word Radio, where you get the last word.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Running Wild Podcast. I'm your co-host, Rich. Alongside me, as always, co-host Runs.
Woo, woo, woo. You know it.
Just before we get started, I just want to remind you guys that we're brought to you in partnership with LastWordSports.com and PWPonderings.com, and where you can find us on the Wrestling to the Max Network. All right, so let's get into it. This is a big week, kind of like a WWE-heavy week, I would say. Deservedly so because of the draft. So
finally the draft.
Oh, but you know what's sad? I was waiting for it for so long,
and then it ends.
And now I can wait for it longer because, well, yeah. We'll get into that.
Like, you know, it was 2 hours, and you know, more than half of it was wrestling, right? So no real picks. And then after that, it was literally just like, I don't care about where the Golden Truth and Bo Dallas are. Like, that shit doesn't mean anything. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, sometimes they're entertaining on whatever show, but it doesn't matter.
I mean, also so the split screen stuff was a great idea. And I feel like what they did on the WWE Network was actually better than what they did on the show.
100% better. But like, you can't make that the show, you know, because there's 20,000 people there who pay tickets, so I get that. But I actually thought it was a good wrestling episode of SmackDown too. Like, I enjoyed the matches that they had. I enjoyed what they did in the ring. You know, I thought it was a really good episode overall.
You know, I'll have to be honest here. I started it a little late, so I think that kind of tempered also my watching of the wrestling because I was more anxious to know the picks. You know, like, I couldn't look at my phone. I couldn't look at my computer. Like, really, like, I was just, like, frozen in this. Yeah. See, I need to get caught up, you know?
I just had the network on the laptop, and I had the draft on the TV. So it was just, oh, and first of all, the first match they showed throughout the commercial, which, wow. And then after that, then every time there was a commercial, there was a dope interview on the network, or they were talking about something. Excuse me. So, you know, I really enjoyed the hell out of it. The network was fantastic. You know, the guys with, like, the shoot-style interviews and that kind of a thing was fantastic. That's what we want to see from the network, are those kind of things. And so to show that they are at least cognizant of that and they're like, hey, you know, well, maybe they're not, but this is their idea right now for this, and that was great. Perfect.
I know he definitely listens to the show, so I just got to shout out to Enzo. I've been saying this. I'm not being one of those people who makes accurate predictions. I've just been talking about how I somehow wanted Mel Kiper Jr. involved with this whole draft process. And right before the draft, or a couple hours before, Enzo tweets out that Kiper had him going in the mid to late first round, and McShay had him going in the second round, third round, and McShay's a fugazi. And I just was like, thank you. Thank you. Like, you're the first person who finally did it, who finally mentioned
it. Just solidified it for you, yeah.
And, you know, when they said, did you catch the ESPN recap?
I don't think so, no.
Okay, because, you know, apparently they reported on it, like, on ESPN. Like, there was a bit about the draft. And I didn't end up seeing it, but in my mind, just Mel Kiper Jr. is at the desk going over the whole thing, like, up and down. I don't know what they actually ended up doing, but it's kind of crazy that – I mean, I know ESPN has the relationship with them, but, like, they said that it was going to be on SportsCenter. Like, it wasn't just going to be –
yeah, well, that's like when the interview is too. It's on like the 7 o'clock or whatever Sports Center. You know,
I've lost Sports Center due to marriage.
Yeah, I mean, it not even that. Like, it's with technology and everything else. There's no real need for me to watch Sports Center anymore. You know, it's kind of a dying breed.
I used to just like having it on for 9 hours, and
Yeah, it was it was awesome. But now, I mean, like, I can just go on Twitter and find out everything they're going to tell me in 4 seconds, you know?
Yeah. No,
so it's kind of just whatever. But
especially with the lightning bolt.
Stephen A. Smith was on a PW Insider podcast talking about the draft. So I got to listen to that and hear, like, does he know wrestling? Because that would be awesome. But even if not, just to hear what he has to say about the draft would be cool. So
I just want
to
hear him yelling.
Check that out. Yeah, exactly. Because like, John Cena going number 15. Like, that is blasphemous.
Steven,
Steven McMahon doing? Somebody got to get his job.
Steven, I don't understand how you can deny that John Cena is the face that runs this place.
How can I deny it? Have you been watching them in the last 5 years?
Every time
the man goes out there, he gets booed out of the building.
I can see Skip Bayless. And then, because I loved Woody Page, I can just see him, because when he used to be on it, going, well, you know, Big Show's been around for quite a long time, and I actually think this is a solid pick. It might not be the sexy pick, you know, but he's been around.
First Take, man. First Take Wrestling. That's it. Just put it on the network. Booker T and Jerry Lawler.
Did you hear Brian Lawler?
What's the difference between them and Stephen A. and Skip Bayless? I mean, that's a perfect First Take.
And Lawler is legit playing. Yeah. I don't watch a lot of SmackDown, but he's the straight heel.
Yeah, well, RIP to that, because it's over. But it's gone. Yeah, well, so now they'll be on the network and on the pre-show. So maybe we will get a little taste of something similar. But
Hear Booker T right away? When Brian came out, he's like, hey, Booker, am I still part of your Fig Five?
Oh, yeah! My man, D-Bry. Like, the best thing that I've ever heard out of Booker T's mouth, and do you know why this guy is so good? It's because I gave him the nickname D-Bry. What?
No.
Because you shortened his name from Daniel Bryan to D. Bry, that's the reason for all his success.
Okay.
Literally said that word for word.
I'm not trying to offend anyone. I don't want to offend anyone. I'm not going to say it the full way, but clearly you're wrong, because the greatest thing that Booker T ever said was, Hulk Hogan, I'm coming for you.
I mean, that was just one of the greatest real life. Just like, yo, Booker, man, you're on TV, dude. You can't do that.
The only thing that I think might be better than that was when Gene Okerlund legit cursed, like, because something fell in the background. But that wasn't live, obviously, you know. But that would have been amazing.
WCW, man, like the Sid Vicious and all that. Can we start over? Like, no, we're live.
Have you seen the White Castle of Fear lately? Like, it's the WCW clip. What happened was, when the Wyatt thing happened, they ended up having like a top 10 weird horror moments, right? You know, and they showed Heidenreich and stuff like that. They showed like Teddy Long in the limo as a throwback to Undertaker in the limo. I mean, what was it with Stephanie? And then I saw Sting going to Vader's White Castle of Fear before a strap match they were having. So he walks in, there's like a midget with an eye patch. They're like really scantily clad hot women just lying around. There's no real like furniture. It's like rocks and weird like throne chairs. And then Sting, you know, takes like a helicopter there, which is crazy. Like, why would you do this? And then he goes in and they're being really weird, and then Vader comes out and he's got like a white fur cape, and he goes like, Sting, I gotta challenge for you, and he takes out the strap, and then they tie it to each other, and a fire like erupts or combusts randomly from the middle of this table where they're standing. So now they're pulling each other over the fire, kind of. I watch all these things and I realize that as a wrestling fan and an intelligent human, the only thing I can do was to block all that out. Like, I remember the Dungeon of Doom, but this White Castle of Fear is so bad.
But imagine watching that when you were 10 or like 8. You know what I mean? Like, without all the technology and without all the insight that we have now, watching that as a child, you're like, what? Like, Vader is the craziest person ever. Like, I get what you're saying. Those old school WCW events were so cheesy and so over the top. Like, the Hulk Hogan Dungeon of Doom stuff, the what was it, the moving vehicle, the whatever A-Pen match. Like, come on.
Wait, hold on. Dustin Rhodes and Bunkhouse Buck? Am I right?
Or the Blacktop Bully, maybe. Like, it was one of them.
So...
And then, like, the monster trucks on the roof.
Brother, no! Oof.
That old school WCW is really, really rough, you know? So you got to just, like, okay, yep. Those phenomenons are not phenomenons anymore.
And the Ultimate Warrior, rest in peace, might be the dumbest person kayfabe ever when he's trusting Jake the Snake, and Jake tells him to walk into a room as he's training him to face the Undertaker, and Warrior looks in the room and sees that there are snakes. Like Jake tells him, like, there are snakes in there, and he goes, walk to the center of the room to the coffin and open it. You'll find the answers. So Warrior walks in. He's obviously super paranoid, okay, like freaking out, but like calm somehow. And then Jake's like, just kick the snakes away. You know, he turns the light on and you see all these snakes. And then he goes to the coffin, opens it, and like Lucifer or whatever snake it was at the time. I don't think it was Damien. I think Damien might have died by then. Comes out and like bites Ultimate Warrior and like poisons him. And he starts like obviously hallucinating because now we can see through his eyes. And then the Undertaker comes out at the end, and they're just like, ha, 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 like looking at the door. And I'm like, yo, Ultimate Warrior. I remember watching that with my grandfather, and my grandfather was like, he never really paid attention, but he always told me, don't trust Jake the Snake. Like, he legitimately was like, no. And I'm like, why? Listen. He's trying to help the Ultimate Warrior because he hates Undertaker too. I remember believing that, and then when Jake obviously turned out to be a bad guy, my grandfather was like, "See, I told you, he's a bad guy. Never, don't trust him." And then he actually said, "Never trust a snake." And I was like, "Oh man, I thought my grandfather was like a genius, like he was an Einstein of wrestling." Obviously, I just was like 10 and didn't know the difference between, you know, didn't see how stories work, but it was. It makes me sad that Jake and Warrior never had a blow off. Like, Jake never got his comeuppance.
Had a good feud.
Jake just did it, and then it ended.
Yeah.
Oh, well. And I really don't understand. Casket matches make sense to me, right? Like, you can roll a dude into a casket. I kind of get that. You know that, like, if you look on the network, they have Undertaker versus Warrior body bag matches?
What?
Oh, yeah. Because I guess on house shows, they didn't feel like having caskets, so they had body bag match where he had to actually zip him up in the body bag. How do you incapacitate someone to the point where
if you hit him with a tombstone.
But now they're dead weight. How do you get him into that bag?
I just got to put it underneath them. And
I can do that to my son because he's light.
Yeah, I mean,
if I knocked you out, if I cold cocked you with a lead pipe in the back of the head, I would have a difficult time just like putting your leg in. Like, I can't dress my son. I can't put his pants on. Like, and that's when he's like awake and he's helping me. He's like moving his arms in the direction. All right, we should probably get back to current wrestling. But anyway, that's what happens when I have time to read random articles during the summer and watch ridiculous videos. So, all right.
All right. Obviously, you know, Raw is okay anyway, but coming out of the draft, what's your outlook? What do you think? Who has the better show? What's going on?
I'm kind of excited about this because now I know that I only have to watch one show weekly, is basically what I feel about the draft. I don't want to be super negative, but I expected, look, and I guess people were saying that SmackDown, you know, that they shouldn't make it like the Smark show. But I actually thought that's what you should do. Because, like, you have a built-in, like, little kids audience, right, that used to watch SmackDown on Thursdays, even though it was taped. But I feel like to get people to go to a new day, didn't mean to do that, but to make people go to, like, a new time slot on a different day, I thought you should make the most appealing show for that one. Not that Raw shouldn't be good, but he should have been more balanced. And I feel like at the end of the day, there's a dearth of talent on SmackDown. There are a couple of good guys, but most of the people that I want to watch, and I'll be a little arrogant here, which means also the really good guys are on Raw. Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Rusev, New Day, Enzo and Cass. Basically, everybody I want, Cesaro, is on Raw.
So now, all right. So here's the way, like, you know, at first it was whatever. And then I've had a couple days to digest and look it over. And, all right, people are going to watch Raw, right? So you put these guys who are your younger and your more up-and-coming guys on Raw, right? So that it gives them the spotlight and the chance to reach the next level. Then on SmackDown, you have guys who are established and fan favorite guys who make people want to watch the show so that they're going to watch SmackDown instead or included with Raw. You know, they're not going to ignore SmackDown because Cena and Orton and Ambrose and AJ, and then you have Corbin, you have Cruz, you have Del Rio. So you SmackDown can make use out of guys that aren't being used on Raw or wouldn't have been used on Raw. You know, like the guys who are important enough or established enough already are on Raw because then they're going to get a chance to really shine because now there's no Cena on Raw. Now there's no Orton on Raw. So Rollins is the top guy on Raw, you know, and that's a new generation of Raw, 100%.
Okay.
So I like the, you know, that's a way to get people to watch SmackDown by putting those bigger names. And then, you know, like, what if we get a Baron Corbin and a John Cena feud or an Orton involved or Cruz or, you know, like that's fun. An American Alpha, that's great.
Well, yeah.
They have Carmella, they have Alexa Bliss, they have Becky Lynch. So I think they took the Divas who were going to play that secondary role on Raw and they put them on SmackDown to give them, all right, hey, one or two of you are going to shine more than you would have on Raw. And there's still time to put a Bayley, to put a Nakamura, to put anyone from NXT on SmackDown. You know, they're going to get Hawkins. They're going to get Rhino. So great. That's just solid work. What if Zack Ryder gets a push out of this? You know, there are guys on SmackDown that I'm interested to see, and there are definitely guys with growth potential. It's strange to me that some people didn't go to SmackDown and vice versa, but, you know, in the end, I don't think the rosters are as imbalanced as they seem because Lesnar's not always there. You know, who really, like, Reigns, Owens, but I don't know. You know, like, I'm excited to see Styles. I like Ambrose. Hold on, let me pull up. Go ahead.
I guess my thing, and I also want to know the pay-per-view thing that they're, like, there are still questions to be answered, you know, but, I was listening to the Cheap Heat podcast, you know, and Rosenberg was talking about, you know, they were talking about how many days a week there is wrestling now and everything. But, you know, he made a point that I kind of agree with. It's like, if you're an adult and, you know, you have like other, like tons of other responsibilities, if they do this second pay-per-view a month, it's going to really make things difficult. You know, I just don't understand how.
Yeah. I don't think I don't know. I don't get the feeling that that's what they're going to do, but, you know, who knows?
Because the truth of the matter is, like I've said before, NXT falls by the wayside for me a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just because of how much I can possibly – even I – look, when we went – like SummerSlam weekend last year, I remember getting hyped about talking how – we were going to be able to watch wrestling for like 5 days straight or something like that. You know, it was like Friday night Saturday NXT, Sunday was the event, then Monday, then, you know, then they had something Tuesday, whatever. And I was like really into that because it was like a one-time thing.
But yeah, every week it's.
I can't think that every week I'm going to be hyped, and let's just say a pay-per-view week. So it's like once a month. I'm going to be hyped once a month, 12 times a year to watch wrestling 4 days in a row. That's
all right. So
I don't know.
Ambrose, Styles, Cena, Orton, Bray Wyatt. That's good. The Miz, Baron Corbin, Dolph Ziggler, Del Rio, Kalisto, Ryder, Cruz, Bald villain.
Can we talk about that first?
Why isn't he on fucking what? In the cruiserweight? It makes no sense.
I mean, unless what we're missing, but see, no, because they said that,
like, that's his division, yeah, man.
No.
Like, that's, it makes no sense.
I mean, unless they're trying to really Rey Mysterio him, and but it doesn't make sense. He should be established.
He could be the exactly. He could win the cruiserweight title and then get to another level after that. It makes no sense. They messed up with that one. But, and then, okay, so you have 5 or 6 guys that I'm interested to see as singles competitors. Right.
I mean, Dolph Ziggler,
Ambrose, Styles, Cena, Orton, Wyatt. That's 5.
I'm not interested in Orton.
I'm interested to see how Orton works with the younger guys. I think that'll be good.
Look, it's telling when Statwife looks at that draft pick and goes, "Why would you pick him? He's not even here. Nobody really cares. He's been boring since you know, yeah, like, well, since for a while."
This is somebody.
This is somebody. I'm gonna be. This is somebody who used to do the Randy Orton pose, like, for, like, to annoy me because I didn't like Orton, and she was such a fan. And now,
all right. So skip Orton. Then the Miz. Maybe he rises back up. Baron Corbin, Dolph Ziggler. You were out on, right? You said.
I mean, I really hope, for Dolph's sake, that this has to be the time.
He becomes a heel. Like, yeah, maybe he becomes a heel. Maybe he gets some more freedom. Maybe he does something, you know? I'm open to him coming back into my life. Ryder, Cruz. So, I mean, Breezango. Like, they also have Alpha, the Vaudevillains, and the Usos, and Breezango. I like and the Ascension. I like that tag team division. That's a different... It's like the NXT tag team division, but it's different. You know, it's not – these teams would never have reached anything surrounded by the club and Enzo and Cass. You know what I mean? They would have gotten pushed back. So that's why I like SmackDown, because it's literally more of the secondary show.
But it's it just, is. That's
But that's what they're avoiding. Like, because – but it's not – okay, just because it's the secondary show with the guys who were pushed to the back burner, that doesn't mean that the guys who were pushed to the back burner aren't guys that I like and are talented guys that are going to make me care about them again. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. I like that Dolph Ziggler and Bray Wyatt and Baron Corbin, Apollo Crews, Zack Ryder, that these guys who came up, had some type of shine, then just got pushed back right away, that those guys are going to be able to have more time and be able to really become something. You know, everyone on Raw is already established. And, like, someone like Cesaro should just trade Kalisto for Cesaro, please, because that would be perfect for both brands. You know, if Cesaro was on – literally, if Cesaro was on SmackDown, I think everything feels completely different. Because if he's on SmackDown, then you're like, oh, shit, and they have Cesaro, he can be the guy. You know what I mean? And now he's just another guy on Raw. But if he was on SmackDown, he's one of the top 5 people on the show.
I mean, his interview's a work shoot, right?
It had to be just... Yeah, go ahead. Speak your mind.
Because there's no way that, in my opinion, like, you know, that's career suicide if it's... Right? I mean, if you legit said that out loud... And you
maybe you really, he's at I don't maybe know. Maybe he's at the point of fuck it, man. It's like, what are they going to do to me? It doesn't matter anymore. Like, maybe this will get their attention. Hey, good for him.
I liked what I loved that he said. My favorite part wasn't even about the shows. Was just like, you know, he commented how sometimes people or he's been derided for not being great on the mic. And he said that he speaks a language that everybody understands, the language of being in the ring. And then that's how he does his talking.
He said, sometimes I may stumble. Maybe that's because I speak 5 languages, but I speak the one that everyone loves. And I was just like, yo, man.
That's the best thing he could have done for his character ever.
If he would have been on SmackDown, that's what we could have seen all the time.
And
that's
so much
the
better.
Problem. You know, literally, I really do feel that if just Cesaro was on SmackDown, everything feels so much better. And, you know, it's crazy to say that, But I completely feel that way. He is one person that swings this whole draft. Because, of course, Raw, like, once Raw had Enzone Cass and the New Day, like, they're obviously the more established tag team division. So I want to see the club there because I want to see all of those guys interact. So, of course, they're not going to split up those tag teams, you know? Like, once one show had it, that was it. Like, the other show just couldn't pick any of them. There's no point. So I like that SmackDown went the opposite and took Alpha, and hopefully they'll get the revival. And, you know, they have Zack and Mojo, maybe supposedly Zack and Hawkins, maybe. So, hey, I'm interested in SmackDown. I'm interested in all of these guys having time and seeing where this goes. You know, it's going to take – I heard September is when everything should be, like, ready to go. Yeah, like, you know, because Battleground is joint and then – SummerSlam is together, so they won't really settle into individual pay-per-views and stuff until later on.
I wonder, you know, it's funny that I actually saw that Curt Hawkins, you know, aka Brian Myers, has been wrestling on the independent since he left the company, and he never changed his Twitter handle because he had the blue check mark, right? So now when he comes back, I mean, I would assume, right, he goes back as Curt Hawkins?
Clearly.
It's like the time I went to the store and I saw Lavernius Cole's Jets jersey. He had just been traded to the Redskins. And they reduced the price to, like, you know, it was like one of those authentic ones. So instead of being like $130, they reduced it to like, I don't know, $30 because now he's on the Redskins. And I was like, why would I want to buy a jersey of a guy who's no longer around? And then they traded him, like, literally like three weeks after I saw the jersey or something, like he was traded back to the Jets with the same number. And I was like, no. And all those Reyes jerseys that were discounted, I feel like I should have taken advantage of back then.
No, you shouldn't have.
I'm like, he was going to beat people and then get re-signed by the Mets. So I should have done it.
Different story. But yeah, anyway. So I don't know, man. I'm open. I'm always optimistic when it comes to it because you have to. But I'm open to seeing what they do on SmackDown. I'm excited to see guys like Corbin and Cruz maybe get a shot. Alpha. You know, I'm excited for those guys to be – like, Alpha is the focus of their tag team division, clearly. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm excited to see that kind of stuff. And it's okay. Seeing John Cena in a feud against – like, who's he going to feud with? You know, he can't feud with Bray Wyatt and Dean Ambrose forever. He's got to feud with the Baron Corbins and the Apollo Crews and Zach Ryan. He has to at some point, you know. So that's going to be good. I'm going to enjoy that. You know, the same goes for Orton. That's why when Orton is, like, going for the title and stuff, I don't like it. But when he was wrestling Rollins, I loved it. When he was feuding with these younger guys, it's going to be good because he's that veteran. He was the legend killer. Now he's the legend. It's an interesting dynamic.
I mean, I have to agree on that one. I guess for me, he's just been someone that I've been rather uninterested in. For a while. So I guess that's my bias there.
I think the time off has helped him because I'm completely with you there. You know, he's a guy who's always been one of my favorite wrestlers, you know, from the beginning. But over time, that it gets stale. But taking time off, coming back, I love seeing him in the ring. You know, he's a cool sight to see. The tattoos, his RKO. I'm excited to see his moveset again, you know, and just see what he is when he comes back. It's going to be interesting.
I guess I'll – all right, I'm going to hold out judgment is what I'm going to do. I'm not going to be – you know, the time off is really going to help my, you know, for lack of – my lack of a better term, my apathy towards him for a while. So we'll see what happens when he comes back. If he's rejuvenated and he gets into some – the Viper thing is just – I don't know. I don't know why it bothers me. I don't know why I'm okay with somebody like R-Truth doing the same exact thing forever, and then I'm not okay with Randy Orton and the Viper thing. Maybe I'm just sick of me hearing Michael Cole say
– it's just
– maybe somebody's calling him to make a difference, you know?
Michael Cole doesn't help, but
Vintage Orton.
The it's because Orton is a real competitor, and like R-Truth is a joke, so it's okay that he does the same thing forever because he's always at that level anyway. Orton, you want to see something else if he's going to continue to be in that top spot, you know, like you expect more from him because of who he is and where he is. And then, you know, that's justified because he's a top guy in the top spot. He should be giving us something.
Yeah. I mean, I have to be in agreement there. He has in the past, I mean, I really liked his work with Legacy and, you know, so that's why I'm going to, the thing is, I guess my full reaction or what comes out of all of this is, you know, before the draft, I kind of joked about how I wasn't going to be able to watch everything. And I was scared that the draft was going, I was scared in like a positive way that the draft was going to do stuff that immediately made me want to watch both shows every week.
Your expectations were too high for what they were going to do with SmackDown is what it comes down to. And they, they built it up to the point where they should have been, but history has told us that that will never be the case. And this was just another example of that, you know, and I've heard that backstage there's a little more contention now between Triple H and Vince, as in like, you know, you're grooming me to do this job, but you're not letting me do this job now. There's a little tension there and problems. So it's going to be interesting to see what comes of that. Like, what if that hits ahead, you know, like God forbid, and it blows up and Triple H is like, all right, then fuck this. And he leaves. And like, you know, like he starts his own shit. That would be, people would think it's the biggest work in history, but that would be crazy. You know, I don't think that's ever going to come to that because there's a lot more on the line than just the wrestling company, it's interesting to see that finally there's something going on there where, you know, Triple H has a different vision and Vince isn't letting it be executed.
Yeah, even his tweet about how, you know, his NXT babies were being called, basically like were drafted and everything. I really felt, it may, you know, and I'm probably just being worked. I don't know. We all blame Vince, but you know, maybe it's not him, right? I mean, a lot of things we were saying when something good or new happens, it's Triple H. But when like the draft is done a certain way and we disagree, I think like a lot of the backlashes, you know, like, oh, it's clear that Vince's hand is still in it. But I wonder if it is. You know, maybe
factually it is. That's what I'm saying. Like from reports and sources and that kind of a thing, that's what they're saying. Like that's, this is the problem. You know what I mean? Like, you see how Triple H runs NXT. You see his vision of the product. And you hear all the backstage stuff, that rumblings and all of that. And to see what happens when these NXT guys are on Raw, it's a different, like, you know, that's not Triple H. That's clearly Vince McMahon not watching NXT and having a clue who or what these guys do, you know, and that's a big problem. And the way he pushes Roman Reigns and certain people, that has a lot to do with Vince McMahon. And, you know, he has final say in everything. He runs everything. So the problems, maybe they're not all Vince McMahon, but for the most part, from everything I've heard, it is. And, you know, it's gotten to the point where maybe he doesn't know exactly what's best anymore, but you can't tell him that.
That this idea that there's just this crazy old man who refuses to acknowledge change in a $1 billion or multi-million dollar corporation.
$1 billion.
You know, with worldwide, you know, worldwide impact is a bit crazy, but I don't know.
But like, you know, it's not, it's terrible, you know, is what it is. But you've seen it for the past 10 years, you know, like it, his finger hasn't been on the pulse as he likes to think it is, you know, and yes, for the longest time, he knew better than most people. And that's the hardest thing to tell somebody, like, yo, you don't know more than everyone anymore. You know, you can't tell him that because for 20 plus years, he dominated wrestling, and he did know better than everyone else. He built this company because he knew better than everyone else. And you know, to tell him now that you're losing your touch, that's a hard thing to hear. Especially when your company is still making money and you're still successful or whatever the case.
But see, I wonder what he said to his father, right? Because at a certain point, Vince McMahon Sr. stepped aside, right? While he was still alive.
Did he? He bought him out, right? He bought it from him.
Well, I mean, but he bought him out, but that was...
I thought they didn't have a good relationship. Like I because of this exact reason. Vince saw something that his dad didn't, and he wanted to take it to the next level, and his dad was like, no, that's not how it's done. And he didn't listen, and he did. And that's why he's so successful. So he should learn from his own history.
That's what I mean,
that
yeah.
Triple H is trying to tell him the exact same thing that he told his dad. I love wrestling, and I will never not love wrestling. But when you go to, like, a small Evolve show, and it's just – put together so well, and the stories are so cohesive, and it's wrestling done right on the simplest form, or when we watch NXT and it's wrestling done right on its simplest form, it just doesn't make sense why it doesn't translate to the bigger picture. I get it, it's a much broader audience, but wrestling is wrestling. That's what it comes down to. You can have all of the jokes and the entertainment all you want, but it's wrestling. That's why everyone is there. I've never met someone who watched wrestling because of the talking. Like, never. Yes, I enjoy the hell out of that. But, like, I enjoy the talking when it impacts the wrestling. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. When there's a reason for why these guys are fighting. Like, that's the whole point.
Yeah, I mean, like, I was listening to The Meaning of Mature and Paige. You know, they were kind of joking about how he wrestled like 7 minutes this whole weekend, last weekend. And he did have short matches, you know, but then he got on the stick and you know, he made an impassioned plea towards Gargano. But all of that is building somewhere. It's going to take us somewhere, you know.
Like, the point of him wrestling 7 minutes was because he's angry and he just killed two guys who don't matter. So, like, it was great. I loved it, you know, and that's the whole point. It doesn't have to be 60-minute Iron Man classics. It's just all about setting up the stories and the angles and using the in-ring product to set that up. That's why I care about the storylines and the promos and the 20-minute back-and-forth segments. When there's a payoff or there's history and there's beef, there has to be something.
It's the reason why I don't watch UFC. I don't watch UFC because I don't really get into fighting.
And that's why UFC has gotten better to me, because there's been more of that. I don't like you. Oh, yeah, you're an asshole. You're this. There's been more back and forth, and there's been more Conor McGregor's and Jon Jones who talk shit and do all that. So there's been a little more flash, you know? And that's why I've enjoyed it, because they built up characters, and none of the characters are bigger than UFC, similar to the way WWE operates, but that's part of the thing, you know? So it's strange. They have to do a better job of putting everything together. And if that's the problem, is Vince isn't as open to it, then I don't know. We just got to endure this time period, I guess.
I mean, yeah. To be honest, Vince isn't the only – I mean – Booker that's suffering from not being able to see things correctly, because I feel like Ring of Honor is suffering from a lot of the same issues in making storylines that are continuous, that make you want to keep watching. I feel like some things are happening, but they're on the lower level.
And from what I heard there, the same thing is true, that Delirious knows who should be working and who should be working where, but Sinclair doesn't always allow him to have his full say.
Oh,
and that's the same kind of a problem, you know, is he's trying to book this one way and they have a different vision of it or a different vision of guys. So, hey, that's the problem when you become a corporation and you're not your own entity anymore.
Yeah. you know, I mean, you can see we saw it with Roddy and Cedric. We got to see both of them last weekend, and it was amazing. They seemed rejuvenated. They seemed
well. Roddy is Roddy, but this goes also on the Medium Mature and the Michael Elgin episodes. This is where I heard, you know, about the Delirious and the Sinclair, but he was saying how like it's amazing to him that Cedric Alexander never won a title in Ring of Honor because he's so good and he's so this, and that's what he was saying. You know, Delirious knows how good this guy was, but he wasn't allowed to put him in the position that he wanted to. And, you know, that just goes to show you Ring of Honor isn't the Ring of Honor we all know. Because a guy like Cedric Alexander would have been a focal point of that company a few years ago. And now he just kind of fell by the wayside. And, I mean, hey, thank you, because I'm going to enjoy seeing him at Evolve and NXT and, you know, onward.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, I think that the best thing for him was leaving, you know, and with that whole thing with Triple H coming out and basically, you know, offering him a contract.
Clearly, that was the correct choice.
Yeah, we talked about that last week. That's how I want to get a job, man. Just have Triple H, have somebody just bring me out in front of a crowd and shake my hand, and then boom, you're hired. I'm like, yes. All right.
Speaking of that, when the NXT, when they showed the NXT call-ups and stuff, Kota Ibushi was like in the background sitting there. So I don't think he would be sitting in the crowd waiting, like watching the call-ups with the rest of the NXT roster if he wasn't actually on the NXT roster.
Yeah.
So that was cool to see. Just like, oh, okay, cool. Like, yep, he's there. That's awesome. Absolutely. I don't think that means anything for the Cruiserweight Classic, which we can get to now, but, you know, he's just signed.
Wow. So, I mean, Bushi's going to be crazy. he's got to, you know, obviously, I think starting NXT first. I hope
100%.
And I really hope it doesn't. To me, it's weird. But like, if you're signed, I don't want him to win. I said it weeks ago. I want TJP to win the Cruiserweight Classic. And watching it, I could just hear them again say, like, I can kind of hear Brian say, you know, that Cruiserweight doesn't mean that you're jumping all over the place. And I felt like TJP almost went out of his way to wrestle a match. Didn't fit the mold of what your average fan might think a cruiserweight is. You know, he was really working the mat, really, really working submission style the entire time. Like, very little. I mean, I could only count on a couple times on my hand how many times he like left his feet. Really.
Well, I mean, that's what TJP does. You know, like, that's, he doesn't always do that high flying style. He is more of a technical wrestler and. It's just this smoothness that's so remarkable to watch.
Yeah. So he ended up having a really great match this week. I thought that the last match that was
oh my god, Tozawa and Kenneth Johnson.
It was good, but it kind of frustrated me that like I would have liked to see Dorado and Mustafa get more time.
Dorado and Mustafa, I thought they all had good enough time. Like Tozawa Kenneth Johnson was crazy, man. Like that was a great main event. If I didn't know who Tozawa was or already know that he won, I would have been on the edge of my seat. You know,
Johnson
looks really familiar to me. I don't know from where, but he just looks really familiar.
I actually thought the main event should have been. See, maybe I'm just biased, but
100%.
So, all right. So, Dorado and Mustafa. I mean, just
that was great, though, man. Like, that was a really good match.
Both guys, I think, could easily be on NXT and work really well.
Yeah,
like right away. Did you see? But he has Mustafa's got like that 450 splash backwards. Yeah, yeah. What is that?
The inverted 450. That was nuts, man. That was insane.
How do you even how do you do that the first time without forget like a mat? I don't even care if you have a giant pad. Like if you land the wrong way, you break your neck. How do you try an inverted 450 for the first time? A pool? I don't know how you do it the first time without being like scared that you're gonna break your neck. Because that move is sick. How do you even? I want to see him. I haven't seen a lot of his footage. I want to see him land that move.
Continue, because I feel like I may have just made a remarkable discovery that I'm not sure. Continue.
Okay. So while you're researching that discovery, and then of course for me, you know, Lindsay Dorado, getting to see him, you know, in a small intimate venue in an American Legion, and then have him just show everybody what he could do. You know, and what I thought was interesting, he hit that springboard like backwards Hua Kanrata, right, to win the match.
What?
If you remember, his finishing move was the way he won the match against Mustafa was a springboard off a second rope. Like, he lands on Mustafa's shoulders and Hura Kanrana is him backwards onto his head. And what was crazy is, as good as that looked that night, when I saw him in American Legion, it was even better. Like, the guy planted, like, so straight up that it was more ridiculous looking. But that's a crazy, you know, that, and then it's crazy that they freaked out. Like, Daniel Bryan was like, I have never seen a move like that in my life. And I was like, ha, ha, ha. I saw that 3 months ago, you know, like, with 100 people next to me. Like, this is amazing. So I just really enjoyed it. And like I said, going into it, I think I even tweeted this out. Going into it, I obviously had a little bit of bias with Dorado there. But then after watching the match, I was like, man, I want both these guys to go forward, you know, like, and I think that's going to keep happening. I'm trying to stay away from the spoilers at this point, because I'm just really trying to enjoy the matches. And I like the way Brian and Ronaldo call them. There are times where both of them say something that almost seems like they're not recording the commentary live. Cause they'll like say this guy, you know, this guy's got this move, and like 5 seconds later, he'll be like, and there it goes, you know. I'm like, are you guys editing? I don't think they are, but it almost seems like sometimes either that or they're like Tim McCarver level psychics that, you know, call the next move and screw the Mets over. But whatever, I hate Tim McCarver.
Well, okay, so I'm not sure, but it doesn't. I don't see anything saying it. But when I searched Kenneth Johnson, the first person that came up was Slick, and I was like, "Oh shit, is that why I recognize him? Like, is that his son?" But then I couldn't really find that. But he wrestled in the Ring of Honor a couple times, so that must be why I recognize him. But potentially Slick's son. So we'll continue to look into that.
Wow. All right. What was the – there was one – so TJP ended up wrestling. I'm blanking out right now on
– yeah, no idea.
I think I was just
– oh, and then it was Damian Slater and Tajiri, right?
Yeah. I mean, did you know Tajiri is 46 years old?
Which is not that bad in wrestling, yes.
I mean, I know it's not anymore. I don't know. 46 still seems kind of old to me for a smaller guy. You know, he's not. What I mean is, like, what was I hearing? I don't know where I heard this, but I heard that one of the reasons that Vince likes bigger guys is because he always felt that putting the belt on a bigger guy meant that they were going to be more durable, and that, you know, with the schedule that they have, it just has played out over the course of, like, the history of the company that the smaller guys, you know, maybe they go further because they're trying to make a point, but they get injured and they don't mm-hmm. stay around as long as the bigger guys. So, you know, absolutely. Batista being 45 to me is different because that dude is literally an animal.
Yeah, I get you.
I mean, he's absurd. He's just this little unassuming guy that I could see doing anything. You know, I could see that. Yeah.
Just I could walking down the street. The street.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, I see him on the train and he steals a seat from me because he's a little bit more spry, but I didn't, you know, I'd be surprised if I heard he was 46, but at the same time, I just wasn't really, I was like, whoa, this guy. But yeah, I mean, the style he works, I still think that the tarantula, was it Brian or Ronaldo that said, like, yeah, that tarantula is a great move. However, you can only keep it on for 4 seconds.
Yeah. I think I don't remember who said it, but I remember.
I like that. I mean, I know that he originated that with ECW, and that, you know, when he does it, people pop for it. But I think that was the first time I've ever heard anyone kind of acknowledge, like, yeah, it's great, but you can't really keep it on for a long time.
By the way, just because I'm watching the New Japan show now, and I see the promo, but mm-hmm. Kenny Omega posted, right? So they have like a press conference for the G1 Climax, and like all what however many guys are like on the stage, and they all speak, blah, blah, blah. So obviously it's in Japan and to the Japanese media, so I don't know how many of them actually speak English. So Kenny Omega gets up there, right? And he goes, all right, listen up, dickwads. And he just keeps going, right? And then he's just like, yeah, fuck all these motherfuckers. And I was just like, yeah, like, this is so ill. Like, he's just on in Japan, just cursing up a storm, doesn't care. Oh,
man,
it was fantastic, man.
Speaking of New Japan, I heard that so Ring of Honor is going back to England for the first time in a long time.
First time long, huh?
The week before they go there, New Japan is running shows with Revolution Pro. And it's like, wow, you guys will, I guess, like, you know, it seemed like the partnership was almost exclusive between the Ring of Honor and New Japan. Not that it's really a partnership, but more like a abusive relationship. But now, you know, obviously Ring of Honor can't bring that star power in from New Japan to try to, you know, I don't know. It's going to be a week after, you know, will it matter? And if New Japan does send wrestlers,
how many people in America watch Revolution Pro?
No, but it's going to be in UK. So what I'm saying is, like, when they're there, you would think that New Japan would
like
go with
New
Ring
Japan
of Honor
guys won't be as big. Yeah, even if they wrestle three nights in a row in New York, like, they're still a big deal. But see, it's funny you mention that, because one day I was watching the old school Ring of Honor, and Kenta, aka Hideo Itami, was around, and he beat Daniel Bryan, then he beat Samoa Joe, then he beat someone else. And they were like, yeah, he's here. Like, he's coming for the Ring of Honor title. And I was like, yo, oh, so this isn't a new thing. Like,
these guys
came over and dominated even back then. So, you know, they've always just been. And that wasn't even New Japan. That was Noah. So it's just the way it works.
It makes me sad. It makes me sad for Ring of Honor. It makes me sad that I'm the guy who does that. But so I guess we'll just cover Ring of Honor real quick. This week's episode, I would actually say, is worth a watch. It's Roddy's last match with the company against Dalton Castle. And I normally dump on Ring of Honor for doing stuff like this, you know, where they seem to wait until a guy's out of the company and then they have a match, you know, on their television product, which I feel like sometimes takes away from what they're going to develop further because the guy's obviously gone. But this one felt a little different. I really liked the interaction between Castle and Strong. Castle went over in the end, but you know, then Strong kind of had a moment with the crowd, and I thought that was actually kind of really classy, the way the company did that. And also, the beginning of the show was actually logical. They had Jay White facing off against Kamatachi with Daniels at ringside. And Daniels is just so good at being that he, you know, he, first of all, this is one of those moments where I love how stupid referees are supposed to be. Kamatachi Irish whips Jay White into the ropes. And then Daniels pulls White out, like grabs his leg and pulls him out. And the Kamatachi like distracts Todd Sinclair. And Daniels whips White into the barricade for a booming, like, you know, sound.
Yeah.
So now, if you're Todd Sinclair, you thought that Jay White, what, just fell out of the ring and then, like,
maybe you thought Tamagotchi threw him in there.
You know? Oh, and the whole, man. Okay, so Taven was on commentary for most of the night. All right. Now, he's funny. He really is. But there were some times, like, you have Jay White versus Kamatachi, and then you have Taven just going, like, Tamagotchi? What? Tamagotchi?
You stole my joke? Come on.
Yeah, he kept saying, and then, you know, Kevin, I might be confusing shows, but I just know that as of late, Taven was doing that. And, you know, he's like, I know, Kelly, you're too old to know that. And I'm, like, laughing because I'm like, you're saying that Kevin Kelly is so old that he doesn't remember, you know, like a weird fad from, like, 1993, you know? Like, that's... That was 20-something years ago when Tamagotchi came.
Yeah, like I was – it's shorter than that, I think, but oh, my God.
But so then White – so White wins the match, and what I really liked was that then, because of like the chicanery on the outside, they ended up having a six man between the Addiction and Kamitachi versus the Machine Guns, who came out to like protect Jay White and Jay White. So I thought, you know, that to me is like logic. It's continuing the story. It's good use of your TV time. The next match, then they had two jobbers, Andrews and Anthony, who were actually good. They're apparently from the Ring of Honor Dojo. So I thought this was going to be like just a complete squash match against Taylor and Keith Lee, but they actually held their own for a little bit. Lee and Taylor eventually win because, you know, Ring of Honor is putting them over. And then War Machine came out because they were angry that Keith Lee and Taylor cost them the match against the Addiction for the titles. The rematch they had, you know, a couple, like, whatever, a month ago.
Yeah.
So I was like, wow. You know, you're continuing.
Yeah.
Now that's two stories that you're having, you know, going on there. Unfortunately, or some people like it, I just am kind of done with it. But Whitmer comes out with Kevin Sullivan and they're, I'm evil and all this stuff. And Carino's not going to ever get his way. You know, like he's going to have to either admit to being evil or suffer the consequences, and his family will suffer the consequences. So this is obviously this. Yes. There's no way we're going to see the end of this at Final Battle. I don't know how it's going to happen.
Oh, because, nice. That's cool. Yeah, that'll be crazy.
Like, how could it be more bloody than what they already did? Like, how?
Oh, I'm sure they'll find a way.
You know, what do you do to top that? Because as much as I just was done with it and I just wanted to see the match over with, that match was really good.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, exactly.
And they did an effective job.
So because it's going to build to a match that you're going to be at and is going to be insane, I'm going to accept it. Like, I'm like, okay, yeah, cool. I will enjoy whatever they give me with this angle because I'm actually excited to see the match.
Yeah, I mean, for us.
I mean, wow, what an amazing concept.
We are blessed and lucky. Although I'm not going to be around for the SummerSlam weekend, we're going to go to Field of Honor, MCU Park. We're going to go to the Evolve show with Johnny Gargano's last Evolve show, September 11th, against Cody Rhodes. And then we're going to go to Final Battle at the end of the year.
Well, you're incorrect there, but that's okay.
What do you mean?
He's wrestling Cody Rhodes on August 20th in Brooklyn.
I thought I saw something that it said Evolve 69.
No.
Okay. All right. I stand corrected. I apologize for that. I must have read the email. Sometimes when I get those emails, they're like in very small font.
Yeah.
Nobody, no. Hold on. I'm reading. It says Evolve 69. That's the show we're going to, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. The 67th is. It's Cody Rhodes versus – so I'm sorry. The 20th, which is Evolve 67, that's the one in Brooklyn, it's Cody Rhodes versus Chris Hero. We get to see Cody Rhodes versus Johnny Gargano on September 11th in Queens.
Oh, that's what they announced. Yeah.
Okay. And Matt Riddle versus TJ Perkins with Dream Team manager Stokely Hathaway in the corner. So that's going to be a crazy match.
See, Johnny Gargano revealed on his Twitter account that he will face superstar Cody Rhodes when Rhodes makes his Evolve – debut on August 19th.
That doesn't make any sense. And then I'm looking at this. I'm reading from...
And Gargano posted on Twitter, Cody Rhodes with the check mark, August 19th Evolve. So maybe they pushed it back because he's leaving or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, that would be smart, right? Because, I mean, that's a great... Especially if you're having Cody join up with Galloway.
Yeah, it makes
right?
perfect sense.
Then that's the last match. It's going to be... Yeah, I'm looking at another website. It seems like confirmed. I'm on Torch now. It's confirmed Cody versus Gargano for the 11th. So I am super psyched for that match.
Wow.
And Riddle versus Perkins on the night on the 11th, it says it could be for the world title.
So yeah, they changed it. August 19th is Thatcher versus Riddle for the title. Rhodes versus Sabre. Gulak versus Nice, TJP versus Cedric Alexander, and then, you know, whoever else. And then on the 20th, nice, man. So they pushed it back.
That's going to be sick.
And I think that goes with what I told you the other day, that they see La Boom as their Reseda for PWG. So, like, you know, they want to have their big stuff going on there or whatever. So, I mean, thank you for that. but oh man,
right across the street from the Volkswagen Service Center that I've been to many times. Just kind of crazy to know that it's like
3 blocks away from my house. Oh my god,
it's so funny because.
And he said September 11th they would be at full strength, right, with EC3. And Hero, oh man.
Oh, Hero's gonna be there? I'll lose my mind. Hero, I don't think I've seen Hero since he was teaming with Cesaro.
He's a lot bigger these days.
I've seen those photos. I don't want to comment on poor guy. I understand that. I'm getting older. I'm getting a little bit of paunch.
And if I can live the same way and make the same money looking that way,
my
fucking goodness, why not?
Please sign me up. And then, I don't know, the Field of Honor, I think we got announced that we would have Shibata versus Kyle O'Reilly.
Nice. Shibata is good.
Yeah, man, that's going to be a good match.
Yep. Yeah, see, and that's what I like about – I don't care who really wins. It doesn't matter. It's Field of Honor. It's a house show. So, like, it doesn't really affect me. But if we're going to get to see those guys wrestle, then, oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, and then because Shibata is going to wrestle Dalton Castle at Death by Dishonor, which of course is the weekend that I'm not here. So, I'm still going to watch it, obviously, like away. But I find it interesting that, like, what happened first? Did Ring of Honor book their pay per view to be that weekend, or because the 19th? I'm going to have to look this up. Is the 19th the Friday?
Because
you know that NXT is going to be Saturday.
Yes.
Right? Saturday night at the Barclays?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's the 20th. All right, so I guess it's not bad. But I just feel like, again, and this is my bias, you're asking people who are already most likely going to watch NXT and SummerSlam, right? Like, anyone who's watching Ring of Honor, or most people who are watching Ring of Honor, I'd say 85% are going to watch that weekend of wrestling. And you're asking them on a Friday night to now watch the pay-per-view knowing that they're not going to go out Saturday and Sunday. Maybe the people who are watching it wouldn't go out anyway, but there's part of me is just like, that's 3 nights in a row. If I was home, I would have to say to my wife, to stat wife, I'm sorry, but I have 3 pay-per-views to watch in the next 3 days.
Yeah, and see, like, that's where we had each other, but we weren't as lucky to have, like, 10 people love wrestling and hang out and watch wrestling.
Yeah,
Like that. So, like, people do that. And, like, people get together and watch whatever. Or EJ will come over and we'll hang out and we'll watch the pay-per-view or whatever. So, like the same way we used to. So it's the same, if we had a party, then it would be like, oh, okay, yeah, we're going out and we're watching wrestling. So, like, you can balance it. But, yes, at this current point, we don't have many people who are wrestling fans, so.
Fair. That's very true. Did you? And of course, by the way, I just got a cheap plug for you. If you guys watch the Gargano mini doc on Evolve, I think within the first 30 seconds,
oh, that's amazing.
When he comes out to the arena, and you see him come out, you see runs right there. Just
like. And it is a close up of Gargano's head, and like it's just
and then
me.
You right
it's
there.
Just me. Like there's, it's so not weird. Like there's 7 people around me. It's.
But you know what the best part is? Is that the best part about that clip, and I think that shows the difference between the way we react sometimes. Like you get into stuff, right? But like, I got caught on that Evolve pay per view with. Like a cheese grin, like clearly marking out for Gargano. Like I'm not just cheering him. Like I'm happy to see him there. I'm like, yeah, it's
oh,
shiny.
I can touch him. I can touch
right?
him.
Right? And like yeah. I'm clapping like a fanboy. Like it's not even regular clapping. Like I'm like, yay! And I've got my freaking satchel with my mic in front of me, so it looks even more like nerdy. And then they release the mini doc, and you're there, like I'm a normal human being who is supporting a guy that I like. But I am an adult, and I don't have to freak out. And I was just like, I think we haven't done. I mean, I tweeted the picture. So, but I think I'm going to go to the trouble of actually doing a split screenshot of our reactions.
That,
because
I mean, if you could do that, that would be pretty remarkable.
You know what? I'm going to actually the picture for this week's podcast is going to be me with the me and you with the like the normal
differences in fandom.
And it's going to be because, you know, who cares? Nobody really clicks more because it's a picture of somebody else. So I'm going to do that. Sorry, guys.
That's awesome. Works.
So,
I mean, if we've covered everything from this past week, I think we have, you know, one big thing to discuss for Sunday.
What's that?
Yeah, football game that we have. clearly.
Anymore. You mean the Guns N' Roses concert that I'll be at, right?
The Battlegrounds pay-per-view.
All right, let me click on it so that I can we can go through the matches.
Pull up the card.
No, I have to. I remember Guns N' Roses is what I'm set on, so I don't even. I'm not really positive about all the matches, but here we go. So,
by the way, so just quickly. New Japan is doing their G1 Climax, which is like a summer-long tournament. Mm-hmm. And like the winner gets the main event at Wrestle Kingdom in January. So the first show, right, Tanahashi loses to Sonata. I don't know if you remember Sonata from TNA. And then Okada loses to this guy from Noah. Yo, it was insane. Like the two biggest guys in the company lost to two underdogs. It's so smart because now all of the underdogs guys' matches matter more. Okada and Tanahashi are still going to get their wins and their points. It's so smart.
Wow.
Just very, very good job by New Japan.
You know, what's crazy, by the way, just adding on to this New Japan news, the event with Revolution Pro Wrestling in the UK. What do you think the name of the tour, the show is?
New Japan Illusion?
No, Global Wars. Are you fucking joking me?
I guess they have a relationship. I don't know.
I hope
they use like the old Ring of Honor logo. Like you just see it like plastered over.
That's like. If we decided to stop taping the show or something, and I just took the name, just ditched you. Like, no, I'm just going to do it new and not even acknowledge that you weren't there.
Yeah, I guess. Like, you're going to – you have the show with, like
– A guy named Walks.
Yeah, like, I don't know, something so similar. Like, but it has to be, like you have the show with EJ. Like, it has to be, like, because, you know, like, we have the show together and then you – it's crazy, man.
All right, so Battleground, we have Becky versus Natty.
I believe Becky should get the win here.
I believe Becky should get the win, but to be honest with you, with both of them drafted to SmackDown, I can actually see Natty doing something underhanded to win to keep this going because they need this. They
but
need this built up.
Didn't Natty win the last one or no, Becky won the last one. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Won the last one.
So let Natty win this one.
Yeah, that's true. And then there, everyone else on the roster is a good guy, right? Or Alexa Bliss, I guess, could be a heel, but
yeah,
Natty being the dominant. But I mean, they have Charlotte on the other side. But whatever.
And I'm okay with Natty being the dominant.
Natty being the old school. I hate to say this, but she cut a good decent promo on SmackDown. Like it was.
And she's not farting. It's good.
It's believable because she's – I just don't like her. So, like, if she's being an asshole, like, I will happily accept that, you know? So, okay, fine. Like, she wants to be an old-school tough guy. I'll take that. She fits that part.
No, yeah, I find it completely believable, and I think it's an effective use of her. I think that in some ways for me, she's a little reinvented. I actually do –
because she wasn't on TV for 4 years. Like, you know, that helps. That time away helps because then you come back and you show some new moves, you get some new gear, you have a little different personality, and you're a whole new person. And that's the beauty of it, which is why I'm so open to Orton coming back. But yes, yep. Anyway. So, I mean, speaking of Orton coming back, we'll get a highlight reel with him and Jericho at Battleground. So that'll be interesting to see what he has to say, how they interact, you know.
I just think that you could – why not use Orton's on SmackDown? Why not use Orton coming back as a way
to – TV on SmackDown.
Yeah, draw people onto SmackDown live.
Well, because now you expose everyone who's watching the pay-per-view to the fact that Randy Orton is on SmackDown Live, and you're going to be able to see what happens next on SmackDown.
Okay. All right. No, that's a valid point.
You give him the greater exposure, and then you move on. So, okay, I'm excited to see him back. So this is just the first step. Let's see what he has to say. Is he gonna address Brock? You know, what's gonna happen?
Okay, I can buy into that. I'm still not going to be super invested in it.
No, just absolutely.
Because I just don't.
You're not even going to watch it because you're going to watch it at
six in the morning
on Monday. And
there you go.
Just fast forward.
Yeah. Exactly, sir. Now, two matches that I'm – so I feel like we should discuss these matches together because I feel like they play off each other, right? You have Rusev and Ryder for the United States Championship, and then you have Miz and Darren Young. But now, because of the way they drafted, presumably, either both win or both lose. No?
Yes, because both titles can't be on the same brand, right? I'm going to say they both lose. Zack Ryder, I really don't think stands a chance. But I don't know. Maybe they both win.
That's what I'm thinking.
That's an interesting thought, but I don't know. Like, is Ryder gonna beat Rusev? Like, I don't think that should be your payoff to Rusev. Like, he's been a monster, and I think you could do more with that. So I'd like to see him keep that title, which it goes the same for the Miz. I've enjoyed his work with it. Darren Young is not ready to be the IC champion. You know, people are cheering, people are reacting, but give it time. You know, let it simmer. Don't put the IC title on him and. He's back to wrestling Curtis Axel. Or, like, you know, I'm not – Darren Young can beat The Miz, but can Darren Young beat Finn Balor and whoever else he's wrestling for the IC title? Like, that part to me is a little like, let him get some more wins and keep building up that character. Then we could talk about some title runs.
So if you have to call – if you have to call it, you say they both the challengers both lose.
Wouldn't these matches be 10 times better if the opponents were switched? If it was Miz and Ryder and make Darren Young great again, America and Rusev.
Well, like, wouldn't? Yeah, I think. But then maybe that's why they
on the same show. Like,
maybe that's what happens. Maybe they both both champions win, right? And then.
And then they just go into the feud with the other guy.
Yeah, Backlund ends up saying, you know, like, oh, well, you know, we're trying to make Darren Young great again. You know, as American, we should go after the U.S. title.
Yeah, but then if both guys – oh, okay. Both,
you know what I'm saying? Like, they both champions and retain, Young. And then you have
– Well, yeah, that's exactly what could happen. But, you know, based on how you divided up the shows and the gimmicks and the storylines that could have taken place, they just would have been so much better off. But
yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to say that Rusev and Miz both retain here.
Yeah, I'm going to – I mean, I sometimes I like to be contrarian just to be contrarian, but I'm not going to do that here.
Because, like, you know, people are behind Darren Young a little bit, and people are always behind Zack Ryder. So there's always that chance that they pull off some big switch, but I don't see it.
Then Sasha Banks and a mystery partner versus Charlotte and Dana.
It's not going to be Bailey. It's not. It's just not.
Come on. Come
it's just
on.
Not going to be. I'm going to – it's Paige. I'm just going to say now it's Paige. I'm not even going to consider it being Bailey because I don't want to get my hopes up anymore. I'm done. I hope it – God, I hope it's fucking Bailey. But it's just not going to be. It's Paige.
Paige. All right. I mean, I'm just going to –
That's it.
I think you're right. I'm going to officially go down on the record.
I hope you're right. More than anything, Bailey. like, all I wanted to see was her fucking get drafted, and now she's not drafted, and now I'm just like, when is she? Like, it makes so much sense for her to be the partner. Like, it's a bigger spot, it's a bigger spotlight, it shine it, but it's just I don't think it's gonna be her. God, I hope I'm so wrong, and I really truly hope it is. But I don't trust WWE enough at this moment to actually do it.
All right, I mean I see your point.
I'm good either way. Sasha wins. But yep. God.
Yeah, definitely. Sasha and her partner win. Then we have New Day versus the Wyatts, non-title because it's a six-man tag.
Yeah, six-man. Yeah, thanks. See you later, Braun Strowman.
Oof.
And there it is, Vince McMahon. Hey, I want this guy on Raw. I like him. And that's it. Now we're going to see a Braun Strowman push in the next 4 months.
I mean, do you think like something happens? Is there like a disagreement that because of the fact that Braun?
Sadly, I don't think. But like,
no,
how?
Well, like, because if you're gonna have Rowan,
is someone gonna be a face?
Yeah, Strowman.
Yeah, right. He's 7'4" and 400 pounds. He can't be a face.
Okay, all right. I'm just trying to figure out what happens.
He can't be a good guy
because Rowan and Bray are both on the same show. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, hey, Strowman is just an unleashed monster now. Who knows? Oh, he was under the thumb of the Wyatts, and they held him back, and now, boom, he's gonna explode.
Who do you?
I would love to see the Wyatts get the win just to build them up, but
it makes no sense,
New
right?
Day, no, yeah, New Day gets the win and just keeps on moving.
All right, then we have the match that I'm most looking forward to ever. Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens. I will start by saying, obviously, there's no way for me to do this, right? Like,
this is everybody listening. The best match selection of all time. Like, your favorite wrestler versus my favorite wrestler. I wonder who's getting picked on both sides.
You know, it would be we should have obviously planned this before the show and swerved everyone by going opposites.
You should have wore your Mr. Wrestling. I should have wore my
you know what's really funny is that I looked at the Mr. Wrestling and just I was like, you know what, I haven't worn the Fear of the Beard Macho Man in a while. But yeah, no, I totally so I'm not it's very easy for me to call this because I'm not thinking about it. I want Sami Zayn to win, and that's who I'm gonna pick.
And I mean the beauty of these two guys is it doesn't matter. Like Sami Zayn can very easily win or Kevin Owens can very easily. It these guys, there is no rhyme or reason. There is no really bigger picture. They're both fucking amazing. They're both gonna be something. But I can very easily, you know, I'm going to hope, as always, that Kevin Owens destroys Sami Zayn only to find out that Triple A, Stephanie signed the hottest cruiserweight on the planet, El Generico, and we get, you know, just run with it.
Don't do that to me. I can't discuss this.
That's my prediction every time these guys fight is that Kevin Owens kills him and we get El Generico.
The only thing that confuses me about this in some ways is that I don't understand why. I feel like it has to be a gimmick match to be the blow off and
to be like the literally last man. But that's why it's not. That's why Kevin Owens is gonna kill him, and then
in SummerSlam,
the hottest luchador on the planet, El Generico.
I can't. I don't want to. I don't know.
I got you hoping Kevin Owens wins now. Look at that.
That's like when you get older. And you ask for something for Christmas when you know it's your parents and not Santa anymore, right? And you get to the point where you stop asking for ridiculous things because you know it's not Santa and you know it's your parents and you know what they can afford and stuff. So you don't ask for it.
You're not getting a pony.
I'm not going to ask for El Generico because I don't even want to think about it being a possibility because when it doesn't happen, I'm just going to get upset. So I'm not going to acknowledge this.
One day it will, man. One day it will.
Let's move on before my hopes get smashed even more. Then we have the certified G's, Cena, Moray, and Cass versus the Club. Again, this is to me reminiscent. This is just kind of like the other six man tag on the card. You know, one of the teams is going to be split, so I don't think that you can continue to I don't think you can continue to, you know, pretend
but
that they're going to win.
Is both of the teams are going to be split. But here's the beauty.
Well,
Styles and Cena continue it on SmackDown, and the Club and Enzo and Cass continue it on Raw. So both teams are going their separate ways, but they're not, because the people that they're feuding with are going to the same show with them. So they're going to be able to continue it either way, you know?
Oh, no, no, I totally agree with you. All right, Stat Baby's here. Do you have anything to say?
Huh? Say hello? No. All
right, Stat Baby's kind of quiet right now. So what is your call for this match? I'm going to go with Enzo and let's say Enzo pinning Gallows.
Opposite. Styles pinning Enzo. Because they tease the dissension, or not dissension, but the miscommunication between them on Raw, right? Enzo hit him, and so I don't know what's going to happen with that. But because there was no acknowledgement of it on SmackDown, so they could have just, oh, okay, yeah, whatever, that was an accident, move on. But I don't know. Cena lost in the last one, so he can definitely get his win back here. But I don't know. I could see the Club getting the win, and then we move on, and the good guys get their win back separately.
Okay. And the last match, we have the championship. We have Dean Ambrose, champion, for defending against Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns in the showdown of the Shield that I thought would be at SummerSlam, but it's at Battleground. So,
and I think we'll also be very telling what we get earlier in the card. Like, let's say Zack Ryder wins the U.S. title and The Miz retains the IC title, then Reigns or Rollins is definitely winning the WWE title. You know what I mean? If both mid-card belts go to SmackDown or one show, then the other show is definitely getting the world title.
If Reigns wins this match, I'm just done doing wrestling coverage.
If Reigns wins, it would be the ultimate, like, slap in the face to everybody.
To everybody.
Like,
everybody.
You know, everybody.
Did you hear it came out there's a report that came out that he may have been on Adderall. That's what he was tested for.
No, I didn't see that.
So, I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure if that's – that definitely changes a little bit my opinion. I don't know if
– yeah, that's not the worst.
Yeah, right? It's not like he was taking a Winstrol or, you know, or Deca.
PEDs and all that shit.
Yeah. So I'm going to go – I feel like there's going to be a controversial ending.
It has to be something, right?
Because this is difficult to call because there's no real – we don't know what's happening if they're going to make a second world title.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't appear that way in the draft, but they could always do anything they want. So maybe we get a – somehow, like, Ambrose wins controversially, and then Stephanie's like, oh, you two are the real champions, and, you know, we get something like that.
That's
what
I
don't know how you would do that with a good guy Ambrose, you know, like
– what if you have –
I mean, Stephanie could spin it anyway because she's – the heel, so that doesn't really matter.
But what if you have one of those, like, what is that, like, double submission type thing or something
on Ambrose?
No, on Reigns. So that at the same time, Ambrose and
Rollins and Ambrose both pin Reigns, something like that.
Yeah, you know, they both got, like, you know, he taps out to them, like, you know, a sharpshooter and a crossface at the same time. And now, because it's a draw, officially Ambrose keeps the WWE title. But then there's certainly room for an argument to be made that Rollins should have had the belt.
I mean, if we have two world titles and then just one IC and US, like, that would be weird, wouldn't it? Like, if both shows have a world title and just one lesser title, like, I feel like that would be unbalanced to me. But
I don't
want
that, yeah.
And you would each need something else, but I don't know.
I agree. I mean, the problem is that when you think about one title, how do you have the champion feud for both on both shows?
Yeah, and without, like, them being on the other show all the time, you know, that's the problem. Like, that's my biggest problem with, like, having the combined belts, because at some point the paths are going to cross and you're going to have to wrestle a Raw guy at this pay-per-view or a SmackDown. Like, is SmackDown going to control, like, say Alpha wins the tag titles at SummerSlam. Are they going to control them until Survivor Series and then we get the interbrand match, like something like that? You know, like, I don't want to see that. I'd just rather see two sets of titles and get over it. Like, my way of looking at the two sets of titles is, if they're trying to make these separate brands, then we need the guy on both brands. You know, we need the established mid-carders. We need the belt for them all to be feuding over. We need tag titles. We need a woman's belt. Each show just needs both, if they're going to be a separate entity, because that's what a wrestling company has, you know?
Yeah. Okay. I mean,
so, like, I'm perfectly, like, if Raw has a world title, the U.S., the Cruiserweight, the women's and the tag, great. If SmackDown then has the world, the IC, maybe a TV and the tag, whatever, great. You know, it doesn't have to be a big belt.
Are they going to make a Cruiserweight belt?
I mean, they're having a Cruiserweight division, so it would make sense. You know what would be really cool is if Vince is just like, all right, this is your 15-minute Triple H. You control the Cruiserweight division, and we'll see what you got. And then he's the one booking. Like, what if the Cruiserweights are like NXT guys? Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're just there for the Mondays. They're there at the pay-per-view, whatever. But it's just you call up the Gargano and the Ibushi. Just, they don't have to be touring with Raw. They could just be there for the show, for the Cruiserweight section, for the segment, and then that's it. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be like they signed 25 Cruiserweights to Raw. It could just be an influx or open door policy with the NXT, with the Cruiserweight Classic, etc.
I mean, there's a part of me that, like, in defense, like, I don't want them to call Gargano up and Neville him, you know? Like, I almost want him to stay on NXT.
Speaking of, I mean, clearly the face of that Cruiserweight division, Neville.
Oh, yeah. He's the crown jewel.
Yeah.
I just hope that Balor's not part of that division.
With them getting Neville, it opens the door for them to not have to use Balor there, you know? And I just think he has so much more potential than that. Like, they, you know, they'd be stupid to just, what?
And he wasn't in, and, you know, the only thing that I think is maybe a positive for that not happening is the fact that he's not in the Cruiserweight tournament, right?
Yeah.
I mean, well, he could be representing, he could be representing one of the countries. And
well, he was the NXT champion, you know, like, this is more unknown.
Okay.
So I think that would have been a little like, what the hell?
Fair.
You know, on NXT, he's the main guy. On Raw, I could easily see him being a Cruiserweight.
All right, well, those are our Battleground predictions. I'm not as excited about the event, except for I want to see Sami Zayn and Owens. And probably when I get home from Guns N' Roses, I will immediately put that match on and then go to sleep and watch the rest of it the next morning.
Yeah, I wouldn't surprise me.
If I have to be honest, I'm not. I'll probably even want, you know, I want to watch the women's tag match. But then again, I'm going to be in Jersey. I'm going to have to use my GPS to get back. So I'm going to have to, like, shut down my notifications so that I don't get revealed.
You know what's happening? Oh, yeah, because you actually get those random WWE updates.
Yeah, that's the worst. Yep. All right. Well, is there any more in wrestling that we have to discuss this week?
Nah, I think that's it.
Then we've covered it all. All right, ladies and gentlemen, so just before we leave you, just want to also remind you guys that you've been listening. Well, we've been brought to you guys by LastWordOnSports.com, also PWPonderings.com, and you can find us on Wrestling Time Max Network. You can contact us directly over at RunningWildLWS on Twitter. You can also follow me at Rich_Laconia on Twitter. You can find us anywhere you get your podcasts. You can find us on YouTube. You can find us everywhere. Do
find us in the background of Evolve pay-per-views.
do us a favor and just really, just if you have iTunes account, please go over, leave comments. We're also on SoundCloud. Leave comments, leave a rating. It really helps out the show. We know that we've, you know, had some really great fans writing in, and the support is really appreciated. Show your support just by taking a second of your time to go over to iTunes. Any more shilling? I think I'm done over here. Okay.
Yeah.
So after all that, just want to remind you guys that you've been listening to the podcast that is just too
sweet.